Good afternoon, my lovelies, or good evening as it is, and welcome to this week's Naked Football Show. In the studio tonight is our regular midfielder, Phil Hamm.
Hello.
And joining Phil, we welcome back His Majesty, the Old Git.
Good evening, boys and girls.
And a special welcome to our naked version of this week, turned fan and season ticket holder, Phil Pritchard.
Good evening.
Okay, right, we'll look forward to the game at Cardiff on Saturday, but of course being a big game kicking off in a couple of hours, we thought we'd find out whether you'd rather England go on to win Euro 2008 or Ipswich Town get promoted. I think I know the answer to this, but it would be good to see what the percentage is anyway. In other words, that's club or country, so whatever does it for you, let us know. And you can do so by emailing us at studio@icrfm.co.uk, or you can text us as usual on 07973 851968. And of course, contact us or get hold of Phil if you too would like to become a naked virgin. Okay, who wants to start? We've got two Phils, so whichever Phil wants to start may.
Well, I might be called Phil as well, might
you can be called Phyllis if you'd like. So anyway,
as long as we don't eat messy foods, we've got new instructions written up on the wall here about what we can do.
Yes, so don't eat messy foods.
Yeah.
Candy floss will do. Okay, do you want to quickly talk about the England game and what you think might or might not happen?
Well, I think we were talking before the show and we were expecting a game much like the famous West Germany versus Austria game during the 1982 World Cup, when the ball was essentially stirred around the pitch by both teams who were quite happy for a 1-1 draw. And I do wonder whether a similar thing might happen. In a way, I quite hope it does. Cause
which role do we play, though? Because we're such minnows now.
Yeah, we're Austria.
Football. We're Austria. Yes, I said that. Yeah.
Well, I think that if that happens, I think knowing our luck, Croatia will suddenly hit us on the break in the 89th minute, knock one in, and we'll be in all sorts of trouble.
Yeah, I suppose there is the danger in that we'd actually score an own goal.
And wouldn't care. Years ago, in the sort of pre-postmodernist period,
that's modernist then, isn't it?
But we don't care now, do we? We all huddled round our little wireless eyes.
Radios.
And we cared. We cared tremendously. And now neither we care, and it's long since, of course, the players haven't cared.
Well, I think we do care. I mean, some of us do. I mean, I mean, answering the club versus country question, I come out club every time,
well,
really, I think.
Now, everyone.
Do you think, though? I don't know, what about if you, I mean, there's always this argument that people who support the very lower league side, someone who supports Stalybridge Celtic or Norwich City, yeah, or someone like that, would probably kind of fancy a bit of glory, in inverted commas, by following England in a way that's sort of different.
Yes, but there's only three of them. I was at Bury Town last week, in amongst the 210.
Uh-huh.
Yes, that's 210, amongst the big clubs, and none of us are interested in England. We just want our own.
But I mean, I was more interested in England.
Nowadays.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, when did it all go horribly wrong then?
Phil.
Thanks very much. I think what Phil was saying there about the smaller clubs teams, their fans, you do tend to find that in England games there's a lot higher percentage of fans of Championship, League One, League Two and lower sides who follow the England team home and away and at the big tournaments than there probably are Premiership supporters, because I guess they see your international names week in, week out playing for the club sides. So, but then again, the flip side of that is whenever there's been a bit of Ipswich interest in the national team, if there's an Ipswich player playing or an Ipswich ex-Ipswich player playing, I mean, Kieran Dyer probably the most recent example, that has attracted a higher than usual sort of interest from town supporters.
Kieran Dyer breaks the new studio conduct rules by mentioning him. He constitutes messy food and bad language in my book.
When I was growing up, town tended to have...
You are still growing up.
It may look like it. Town tended to have four or five players in England squads quite regularly, and I probably followed England far more then. I think, I don't know if this is something of my generation, that as Ipswich's kind of fortunes went down in the mid-80s and Town stopped getting players called into the England squads, my interest in England sort of dissipated a bit. I don't know if that's something, because you're similar sort of age to me, Phil.
Yeah.
What about the videos of footballers on their holidays? Hasn't that spoiled the England thing for you a bit?
Well, fortunately, I've not seen any.
I saw it. It was on Channel 4. It was lovely. There was Kieran Dyer. There were bottles. There were subtitles for the hard of hearing.
But the
hearing's at least to your worries watching one of those videos, are they not?
Pardon?
But I think one of the, obviously the kind of relationship between supporters and England players has probably
been sexual.
It's probably lower now than at any other stage,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, because they're overpaid scumbags.
Because
they're good because they're overpaid scumbags, aren't they? Yeah.
I think if someone's on 120 grand a week or whatever,
they're not interested.
And you see any kind of misbehaviour from them, then straight away that's the stick that's used to beat them with. They're on this kind of money, they should be set an example, which is pretty true. But then again, at the end of the day, a lot of them are young lads in their 20s who are doing what young lads in their 20s do, whether they're an international footballer or they're a normal man off the street.
I do suspect that people would kind of have give them less of a hard time. I mean, not saying that they deserve a hard time or not, if we were actually successful in the manner of an Italy or a side like that, whereas, you know, in recent years it's fairly predictable that we tend to scrape into tournaments, but usually slightly less luckily than we're probably going to this time. But
Scotland always
and then we underperform at the tournament itself. Scotland tend to Scotland overperformed by underperforming in our
other countries' teams anyway. So we finish with England because England is of no interest to us. I hate these long breaks that we keep having for these international weekends. Mm. Why are we not playing? We haven't got many internationals are playing, and you might say because it's countries like Northern Ireland and Wales, which are not actually countries, of course, they're merely principalities. They shouldn't be playing internationals anyway. And I certainly don't wish Ipswich Town to be interrupted in their season because of international weekends. I want to be playing football.
Yeah, I think Jason Ross said in a recent programme, actually, he mentioned the international breaks, and there's 46 games spread over a season, but it's not an even spread anymore. You'll play six matches, then have a fortnight off, and then you'll be playing week in, week out again, then another break, and it kind of fragments the season. If you're a side like we are, certainly at home anyway, on a decent run of form, you want to keep that going. And the flip side of that, if you're a side who's just come off the back of a 6-0 beating like Bristol City, quite often you hear a manager come out after the programme and after the game and say, we want to be back in action as soon as possible to erase the memory of that game from their players' minds. So probably doesn't do anyone any favours in terms of any kind of continuity.
No, and it's quite annoying. The season has been very, very stop-start, hasn't it? This year has seemed more so than any other. But then again, I mean, how the situation used to be when we were sort of in the late 90s, before they started stopping championship matches on the weekends of internationals, we used to have enough internationals to get our games postponed anyway, didn't we?
Yeah. Well, yes.
Richard Wright and, I can't remember, must have been Kieran Dyer, and I think we used to have Sean Fryers going away with the Northern Ireland under 21.
Is that the reason why we had the likes of Amir Carrick on?
It did mean that he had the extra man, didn't we?
He was my friend, though. I was acquainted with him.
Yeah, did you sponsor him?
No.
Did he sponsor you?
Well, he had the money, don't you? And he said to me, perfectly frankly, that he was staying because he was earning sort of whatever it was, £1 million a year, and it would be absolute madness. He said if he was a younger man, then he might have pushed off. But because he was never a younger man, he was a lovely boy, wasn't he? He had the first touch of a rapist.
It's charming, yeah. Carrick was he played quite high level, didn't he, obviously, internationally. But they picked
Slovakia.
Slovenia.
Slovenia, yeah.
He didn't sort of fit into English football because he just couldn't run. I think that's essentially
rough. He got booked all the time, man. He wasn't very good. He wasn't very good, is the truth of it. I saw him play plenty of times for the reserves. He wasn't very good.
Yeah, he probably wasn't overly interested in reserves games.
We signed him for $1 million, do you remember? That's what Sheepshank said. He was he was the million-dollar man, Amir Carrick.
Yeah. I mean, that's worth a whole lot less now.
Yeah, back to the point about games getting called off. I think
it just got back to the point. I don't want to go back to the point.
Wait a minute. I think when we used to have, like you say, Richard Wright and Kieran Dyer and people like that.
Keep mentioning Kieran Dyer.
I know that.
That greedy big-eared Wright boy.
Because I seem to remember the rule being extended that under-21s games would count for a player to be called up, and it got to the situation where every team in the Premier League would probably have players who are playing for full internationals, and in the Championship, or what it was called back then, you'd be getting players who were because of the under-21s, a lot of their a high percentage of their squads were getting called up, and you'd end up with two fixtures going ahead in any case. They obviously thought we'll just cancel the whole programme and be done with it. So
I remember a Hull fan telling me that they had their, it was about 5 or 6 years ago, maybe a bit more than that, they had their first ever game called off, and it's because they had a player called up by Antigua, one by the Faroe Islands, one by the Welsh under-21s, something like that. Which is not ideal. Have we had any emails from anybody?
Yeah, we've got quite a few, but you seem to be enjoying yourself, so
I was ever so embarrassed last time I remembered to come onto the programme.
Last time you actually remembered, yeah.
But at about 6:29, you mentioned that we got 134 emails, because I like to think that all those little emailers are all here in the studio with us, so really, I want to embrace the emails.
Yeah, you gave them a chance. Unfortunately, a lot of them are off subject, you see.
That's all right, I don't mind off subject.
But anyway, this one was from Crazy Jay-Z, who says, I'd rather Ipswich won at Cardiff than England win Euro 2008.
Well, yeah, I mean, actually, I suppose the fact that we haven't won away for so long does make it almost as...
Does that count as an international being in Wales?
Yes,
that's true.
Although it's not
that, I just
said it's not that.
It's a principality.
Well,
I'll carry on.
Are we a principality?
I have no idea.
As you insist, I read out any old email. This one is from MJH. It says, can you tell Phil Ham I really love him, and does he want to come out on a date?
No.
Quite
quick subject to get sorted, that
one. Here's another one to old Git from Mr. Sambora. Can old Git give us the benefit of his vast wisdom and tell me what his favourite cheese is? And you wonder why I don't read them out.
Go on, then.
Hang on, I've just got one more, can I?
No, the cheese thing is silly.
No.
Not like me. No. I'm not going to go into cheese.
And another one from Crazy Jay-Z says, can I just apologise to the world for my appalling taste in music? Also, the nurses I live with are all blokes. There you go.
Yeah, that's obviously I've never had an image of those new Bowie ladies that he...
Yeah, anything else?
Or Filipina.
That's pretty much it at the moment until I do... Oh, I've got another one. Hang on. God, blimey. Oh, that was... we were talking over the gig guide, unfortunately. That's probably my fault, so apologies to that, everyone. Okay, carry on, will
we? Won't we? Oh, dear. What did we talk about?
I don't know.
Talking over the gig, guys.
Yeah, that was my fault for switching your mics up too early.
And where were we? What do we think tonight, then? Do we think it is going to be a kind of passing the ball around and a kind of wasting...
I think, to be fair to England, they've started to show signs of promise for certainly the home games this season, so I think it will end up being another 3-0, 3-1 victory, and everyone will wonder what all the fuss is about.
It's such a weird thing. I think one of the reasons why I couldn't give a toss about England is because nowadays there are so many countries, you know, our home form, what against all these giants? Who have we been playing? Italy and Argentina? No. It's Azerbaijan and Kazakhstan and all sorts of people called Stan. It's very become very strange, hasn't it? What about Andorra? There's a principality that shouldn't be playing football, isn't there? And Scotland.
Yeah, well, there's fewer people living in Andorra than are in this room at the moment. Yeah. I mean that is ridiculous. I think they do need to introduce some form of qualifying competition for
that. Even the names that are completely hanged together. Did we play Moldavia or Moldova?
I think they're two different places, aren't they?
Well, I neither know nor care. Michael Palin probably went there.
Yeah, they probably, yeah.
They're keen, aren't they? The little sort of numpty little countries, but what? It's partly their numptiness that makes it all so stupid that we're bothering to go and watch it all.
Isn't there a rule in the qualifiers as well? I don't know if it is this round of European qualifiers, or it might be the last round of World Cup games, but the cricket scores that teams tend to knock up against these little teams were discounted from the final goal difference if it came down to that in terms of the final placing.
If England ended up on the same points as Croatia, then it would be the games between the two sides, rather than any of the, as you say, cricket scores that have been walloped up against the likes of Andorra. Actually, we didn't get that many against Andorra, did we?
What could feel like a worthwhile result tonight? What could happen in the match that would make you feel, golly, that was a jolly good match? Is there anything that could happen?
A streaker.
Male or female?
I suppose if Croatia went ahead and then we came back to win from there, then I suppose we could look on it
and you'd remember that in a week's time, a sort of
plucky England sort of victory.
What about if a badger came on the pitch?
Well, yeah, that would you'd remember it if a badger came on the pitch.
Whereas you wouldn't remember anything else, I can't imagine, that could possibly happen against the
Peter Crouch hat-trick, you'd remember that.
He gets them all the time against these little countries.
That's true.
I think they said on Sky Sports today, all the goals he scored for England, none of them have been against anyone who were in the top was it top 20 or top 30 in the world at the point in time when we played them. And all the teams who we have played who have been in the top 20 or so teams at the time we played them, he hasn't scored against any.
And where are Croatia? They're about 8th, are they, something like that?
I don't know, they're certainly in the top 20.
Yeah. Obviously they're in a more important league than we are, I expect.
So, alright, so you actually remember us winning a World Cup, don't you, old git?
I do. It was lovely. Actually, I was out of the country in there now, or rather, well, I wasn't. I was in the Principality. I was in Wales.
Wait, that must have been fun then.
Yes, I watched it from. I watched us win the World Cup from overseas.
Okay, I was in the Brecon Bridge. From over Bridge. So, I mean, what? Yeah, I mean,
so extraordinary. We haven't won it since.
But when did it all kind of? You know, you say that people no longer have the same interest in the national side. Certainly not in the same way as other countries do. I mean, Scotland, everyone went mental at the weekend and. And Wales, if they're doing well, people are very...
But they're real.
The Irish are very similar.
Well, but all these sort of minority groups get excited about that sort of thing. I think broadly speaking, I imagine that people like West Germany, or whatever they're called now...
Germany.
I imagine that they've got the same thing. Look at their approach to the Eurovision Song Contest, where they
Do I have to?
Enter. Well, they enter sort of silly things. We've now got to the point where we don't feel that we are... English. We feel that we're just international sort of people. My parents emigrated 42 years ago. I signed up to fight for Australia against the Viet Cong in Vietnam. I'm not completely sort of English myself, although I do sound quite English.
But the point being, when England won the World Cup in 1966, presumably there
was still rationing, though.
Fervor.
Well, there was fervor because there wasn't anything else going on.
It was
life was in black and white.
Come on, look. You're not always telling us the 60s are fantastic. Now you're saying there's nothing better on the telly.
The 60s actually came very late in the 60s. 1966, that probably was sort of the Beatles and Free Love and San Francisco. That probably was the start of it. But mind you...
My World Cup,
I thought it was 63, Philip Larkin poems. That was too late
for me. You are, pointy-headed intellectual. I don't know why you...
That was because he was your librarian, wasn't he, Phil? That's why, at Hull University, wasn't he?
I was amazed when I saw the film, a film called about Till Death Us Do Part, and they showed a film of the World Cup victory. And in the film, Till Death Us Do Part, the film of the World Cup victory was, of course, polychromatic. Whereas we lived at that time in a monochromatic world. In other words, I'd never seen coloured pictures of the England game in 1966.
The TV coverage was all in black and white, obviously, but there was a film made, wasn't there, of the game as well, yeah.
But I didn't say it, I never went out there, and we were lucky to have Hole in the Ground.
But, you were admittedly in Wales, so presumably there was some sort of wake and kind of period of mourning.
Actually, well, I was middle class, as I am to this very day. And actually, middle class people, of course, weren't even interested in association football.
Mm. Yeah, what about rugby?
I didn't play association football at school.
No.
So middle class people weren't interested at all in... in all this silly business, unless they actually owned the club. Although, actually, middle-class people didn't own clubs. Aristocratic people owned clubs, like the Cobbles.
Bob Lord was not an aristocratic man. He was a butcher.
Well, if middle-class or if people other than the working class were involved, then they would have owned the clubs.
But,
Bob Lord was wonderful. You can't remember Bob Lord.
I don't remember the name.
Bob Lord was a wonderful pork butcher from Burnley, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was involved for the FA as well, wasn't he? I think he was very high.
In the same bracket was Alan Hardacre, but that's all before you were born, of course, you boys.
But this was in the time, saying that England, people don't follow England with the same fervour as other countries. I mean,
you could say, if we're being sort of historical about this, that the period of time that people were genuinely interested, that the nation was interested in England, was actually a very short period of time, because prior to the 1966 World Cup, people were not interested in England. England wasn't interested in England. We didn't bother to turn up for World Cups much.
Yeah,
it wasn't taken seriously, yes. We were so obviously the best, we didn't really take it seriously.
Well, sort of Hungarians gave us a great hammering.
Well, but we didn't... Yes, that's you can say that, but I still don't think that was true. Yes, they did. We learnt a lesson there. But we didn't really learn a lesson.
But we did start losing quite on a regular basis in the years following that, didn't we?
That's not really true.
we didn't win the 62 World Cup. Did we end the 58 World
Cup? Yes, we did. Yes, and the 62, but we didn't win. Yes, but we weren't losing. Yes, but you created the impression that that people like Moldavia and Moldova were coming over in 1956 and beating us.
England didn't enter World Cups in the period sort of after the war because it was considered that beneath we were better than these continents.
Well, that feeling continued,
and I think we actually withdrew from FIFA during that period, didn't we? Until the Hungarians. I think the Irish had already beaten us, hadn't they, in a game?
Probably. Well, the United States beat us, didn't they, in the World Cup?
But in that period, after the Hungarians beating us, presumably there was at some point there was a kind of revelation that things weren't actually quite as good here as people thought. I mean, the fact that the guy who...
I honestly don't think that's true. I know that that's what one reads, that the Hungarians sort of transformed our attitude to the game. I think that's a complete load of... What was the studio conduct?
The irony is that the game had kind of been taught to them by a guy called Jimmy Hogan, who was British.
Who was an outcast. And whatever happened to Hungary?
Ways.
It didn't actually do them all that much good, did it, Hungary? If you think about it.
Well, for a period.
What the other Phil probably said. Getting back to the point, as Phil, the other Phil said.
Well, I got criticised for that.
The little period that people were genuinely mad about England, it began with 1966, although people weren't interested in 1966, but by, say, the 1970 World Cup, we were jolly interested. Mm. The whole nation...
Releasing records and everything.
Right, can we have an email break? Otherwise, no one's ever going to get.
Norway as well, you haven't read.
Yeah, I have. Well, I don't get a chance. You lot just don't stop. Right, a message here, Smithy from Hearts. Don't forget, in 1966, the players were not so familiar to us as they are now. They were quite enigmatic figures, which is true, wasn't it? Because now we know.
It's probably more the media thing. They're right up there, backsides finding everything out about them, whereas maybe the press left them alone a little bit.
Over familiarity breeds contempt.
Another one here from this is again about England. Brad from Ipswich, yes, I got your text last week, Brad. I'll read it out at the end again. If we get a chance with this lot, may not be possible, of course. I'm really not sure what I want out of the match tonight. I mean, if we get through, then all very well, but we risk keeping McLaren after the Euros. Ooh.
Oh, it's so
if England ever. But at least if we lose, that would get rid of him.
Like Phil.
Sorry?
Well, McLaren's haircut, that's all that worries me. I want to see a badger tonight, and I want McLaren to get a proper haircut.
Are they offering odds on that, a badger on the pitch?
I don't know, yes.
Anyway,
they offer odds on all sorts of things now, don't they?
I think he'd like to get rid of McLaren and get in someone like Harry Redknapp or Martin O'Neill. That's his suggestion.
I want Jose. Mm. I think that'd be more entertaining.
Mm. You want who?
Jose Mourinho.
I thought it wouldn't be so entertaining. Get Avram Grant in.
I just think...
It's not a full-time job being manager of England, is it? I don't think so. I think Jim McGilton could do it.
One from Mariner
Let's
here.
Let's talk about Jim McGilton or nice things. Or Mariner, yes.
Well, we've got about 3 minutes.
Mariner loves me.
Mariner, he's put Croatia little country question mark. He said, I want both England and Town to win always. Why wouldn't anyone want to win all the time?
Oh,
well, we do.
Boy.
But I'm having Christ to... You have to make a decision, though, Mariner.
If I had a choice, I'd say... Can we just not have both of them? It's to do well and England. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive.
It must be great having been a supporter of, like, say... Dynamo Moscow, where the sort of international side does very well and all the players are made up of your team.
Yes, having your cake and eating it, isn't it?
Before we go on to it, this is just the Fodfather now. What Fodfather? Where there's a keyboard error? Codfather? Godfather? Fodfather with an F, is it?
Yeah.
Oh, right, it's the Fodfather. Can you wish AFC Norton luck against Bury Bowl this Sunday in the Bury and District Sunday League Division 4? And Ipswich 2. I think we can. Good luck, lads. Okay, you've got a couple of minutes to talk about Ipswich and Cardiff. So
what about singing? Why can't we do singing?
I don't want to sing.
You don't want to sing?
And more than anything, I don't want to hear you sing.
Oh, that's not fair. You've never heard me sing.
It's a very good
The viewers have never heard me sing. Do the viewers want me to sing?
I doubt it.
No, you can hear them. Probably not, no. And this came from last week from Brad. It came just after the show finished, talking about a left midfielder. He said, what about Nathan Dyer?
No one called Dyer.
No, I like Nathan
Dyer. He's very quick. He's a youngster, isn't he?
You've seen him play, because he played in the FA Youth Cup final down here.
He may be here next Tuesday, mightn't he, with Southampton?
Could be, yeah.
He's a very quick little chap who you had, I think they had Walcott on one wing and they had Dyer on the other.
I can't remember.
I can remember. I've seen him play on the telly as well a few times, and he's.
I've seen him live, obviously, but I can't remember.
Presumably he's not. He's been out on loan, I think, hasn't he, somewhere? But
I think he was injured.
He's quite bad against Portman Road against us. I can't remember who it
can't remember that one.
But he's a good. I mean, he's a good player, certainly, and I think that he.
Well, I've just come from Cambridge United Advanced Little Boys Training. I recommend George Crow to play on the left for us.
There's a name for the future.
He's eight.
Well, you'll be long gone before he makes any impact on the game. So,
do you want to have a quick prediction, Cardiff, coming up? You've got about a minute.
Cardiff?
Yes.
Oh, God.
The breakthrough.
We have to win. It's
5-0.
It's so tedious.
5-0.
All these long 5-0, I think.
Actually, we haven't talked. We must, in every programme, if Ipswich are doing very, very well, we must at some point say Ipswich are doing very, very well.
But they are.
I can't wait to see them.
Tuesday. Yes. I think the Cardiff game is another opportunity for us to finally nail this jinx.
Oh, it's so frustrating.
It's the game that Fowler and Hesterbank come good and.
It's not.
I don't know. I think Garvin potentially being out, and who else was on the doubtful list? Alan Lee's Billy Clark. Gavin Williams probably might be a game too soon for him to step in and take Billy Clark's position, but. No, if you think your Garvin misses the game, that certainly won't do us any favours. I think he's been outstanding this season.
Oh, he's wonderful. Wonderful.
But it is true, more than anything, we do need to nail the jelly that is our away form to the ceiling, don't we? Get it really sorted out once and for all.
The really bizarre thing is how our away form has depressed our home support, and yet our away supporters haven't been depressed by it. Our away support is holding up magnificently. Real hats off.
In fact, we've said this a million times, haven't we, Phil? They've been quite unlucky, especially the last two or three away.
Yeah, the Burnley game, the Norwich one. I mean, for Norwich, actually. I mean, 2-0 down on the kind of run they'd been on. It had been easy for them to roll over and die. But I didn't. A bit of a hard work and endeavour.
Well, then Sheffield turned out to be in good vein of form, whatever you call it.
Yeah, we shouldn't have lost that. It's the dodgiest penalty I've ever seen. And Burnley, we scored a perfectly good goal at the end, but we've said all this before.
And then you can go right back to the Plymouth game. Where
quick prediction.
Given late on.
Sorry, Phil.
Prediction for England or
both. You take turns.
About less about
Phil, the far end. England first, then
Ipswich. Ipswich to win 2-1.
Yeah, Mr. Gitt.
I just want to say, reclusive billionaire.
Yes, thank
you. Well, I think tonight, boring 0-0 draw, very tedious, maybe a Croatian sent-off in the last 10 minutes, and Saturday, I think we'll win 1-0.
You said you wanted to just say that.
Merely.
That's it, okay.
Test the breakout on the Croatia top.
Yeah.
And
thanks, everyone. Thanks both the Phils and, of course, to His Majesty the Gitt. Till next week, have a good one, everyone. Take care. Oh, by the way, I'm playing this purely because Mr. Gitt likes it, not because it's our theme tune. Thank you. Good night.